blessing, what does it mean? This is kind of something that's been on my heart for a while. While I was in Japan a few months ago, I preached there on this subject. I was there for 5 weeks, and I was like, I arrived and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to talk about? And this just came up, this idea of blessing. And I can only really scratch the surface today. I mean, it's a massive, massive subject. It's such a small word, but it has a massive impact on our lives as believers. And we use it all the time, don't we? We say it in greetings, we put it at the end of letters, text messages, we say it when people sneeze. I don't know what that's all about, really. I ain't Googled that. I don't know why we do that. But is that what it is? Ah, right. I've learned something already. But what does it mean to be blessed by God? That's what I just want to look at briefly this morning. Does anybody here own a Rolex watch? Well, we're in Beverly, aren't we? No one owns a Rolex watch. No one's wearing one right now. Oh, I'll have to use mine then. It's not Rolex, it's Timex. But just pretend that this is a Rolex watch. And think about what is it about this watch? What would you expect this watch? What would the qualities of this watch be? What would it... Anybody shout out, what would you expect this watch to be in terms of what you pay for it? And keep good time, yeah. Anything else? What about the materials that they use in it? They use diamonds, don't they? They use gold and precious metals and... What else? What about how it's built? Strong. Precision, quality. All those things, yeah. Hey, you're on form this morning. You'd know that in buying this watch that a lot of thought has gone in to putting it together. You know, the best watchmakers, the greatest level of skill and years of experience has gone in to making this watch. And what is it that conveys to you those qualities? What is it that tells you that this is the best you can buy? The name. You're all on form this morning. The name. In the book of Numbers, God instructs, he gives specific instructions to Moses and to Aaron, who were the leaders of the people at that time. And he gave them specific instructions on how to bless the people. Basically, what would happen under that old system, Aaron was the high priest, and he would basically represent the people before God, and it would involve making a lot of different offerings under that system. He would sacrifice a bull that which represented sin, and then he would sacrifice I think it was a ram, which was called the burnt offering. And he would do that for himself to atone for his own sins. And the burnt offering, interestingly, it represents wholehearted devotion to God. That's what it means. Interestingly, the word burnt offering is, in Hebrew, it's holocaust. That's where it comes from. Hollow meaning whole and cost meaning burnt. A lot of Jewish people really object to using that term for what happened during the war, and they argue that it wasn't an offering and it wasn't a sacrifice, it was murder. And so you can understand where they're coming from. But the original meaning of that whole holocaust, that whole burnt offering, is wholehearted devotion towards God. And Aaron would do this for himself, and then he would do it for the people. He'd offer similar sacrifices for the people. The animals would be killed and burnt, and the blood would be poured out around the altar. A bit graphic, a bit messy, isn't it? But that was the old system. But at the end of all this, when the blood had been shed, it says in Leviticus that he would stand up and he would lift up his hands and he would bless the people. He would bless the people. And this is what God told Aaron to do and to say. Do you want to put that scripture up, Jez? Familiar passage. This is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And it's this bit. He says, this is how I will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. The blessing of God is such a powerful thing, such a powerful, I would argue that it's probably the most powerful force in the universe. Because when God blesses something, he puts his name to something. And when he puts his name to something, he puts his character to it. His goodness, his power, his mercy, his grace, his generosity, his love, his forgiveness. All the characteristics of God are put upon what he's blessing. You could say that all of heaven is behind the blessing. God loves to bless. It was always in God's heart to bless. God's story of salvation, it's bookended with blessing. There's blessing at the beginning, and if for those in Christ, there's blessing at the end. And actually, there's blessing all the way through. It's all the way through the scriptures that God wants to bless. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden. The first thing he said to them was, he blessed them. That's what he said. Let's make man in our own image. And he blessed them. And within that blessing was the ability to reproduce, to multiply, to increase. That was contained within that declaration that came from God. A bit later on in the story, God declared the same blessing over Noah and his family. After the flood, you know the story of the flood. God judged the earth, but he chose Noah and his family to continue the human race. And when the floods had subsided. That's the word. Thank you. When the floods had subsided, God blessed Noah, and he gave him that same blessing: be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. The next man God chose was Abraham. Abraham was living in a land of idolatry, worshipping false gods, and God called him out. And the first time that Abraham met God, God says, I want to bless you. It's the first thing he said. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And that right there is the call of the Christian life. That's the call for you and me. That we're to be blessed and to be a blessing. A lot of people kind of get a bit kind of nervous about, you know, when all you do is talk about blessing. But what's the alternative to blessing? Yeah, and we get accused, well, people can get accused of, oh, it's not a bless me club. It is. It is. It's not easy. It's challenging, but it is bless me. He went through all what he went through to pull me out of the curse club, if you want to put it that way. So God is into blessing. He's into blessing me, and he's into blessing you. And the Lord confirmed that same blessing, that same promise to Abraham's descendants, to Isaac, Jacob, and to Moses, actually. And this is all Old Testament. It's all in the old way of doing things. And all of these promises and blessings had a measure of fulfillment in the lives of those to whom the blessing was given and the context that it was given. You know, Abraham, he was blessed and he did, he was fruitful and he did multiply eventually. But he did. It was real. But it all pointed to something greater. We talk a lot in Christian circles about the kingdom being now and not yet, don't we? There's an experience of God that we can know in this life, but there's always more to come in what's ahead of us. And this is the same pattern that we see in the promises of God. There was a fulfillment then in the Old Testament, but there was a bigger picture. There was more than what was just going on there. The kingdom is now and not yet. The New Testament puts it like this in Colossians. Talking about those old things, it says these were a shadow of things to come. But it says the reality is found in Christ. The reality, the substance of things is found in Christ. Do you know what the last thing was that Jesus did before he left the earth? I'll tell you. Sorry? Yeah, I'll tell you. Do you know? Oh, yeah. No, no, it's after that. Yeah, I'll show you the verse. Luke 24. This is the ascension. It says when he had led them out, he was talking about his disciples, when he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Jesus is the substance of what was before. What was before was the shadow of things to come. Jesus is the substance. He's the great high priest. Aaron was the shadow. Jesus is the reality. And he went through all that he went through. He was crucified. His blood was shed. He was in the grave for 3 days. He rose from the grave, resurrection. He went through all of that. Why? Because he wanted to bless you. Jesus is the great high priest. And the last thing he did, he'd performed his duties, he'd fulfilled his mission. And then he stands there and he lifts his hands and he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And then he went. But he went through all of that to bless, to restore the blessing that was given in the beginning. Because it was always in God's heart for you and me to be blessed and to be a blessing. God put his name on you and me. And when he did that, he restored that image that was given to us in the beginning. We are all image bearers of God. And that's what the blessing does. It restores that. It restores the family likeness. When my mum married my dad, she obviously took his name, Slight. And then when me and my brother came along, obviously we inherited that same name. And the name speaks of identity. It tells me who I am and it tells me whose I am. So I'm Steve Slight, son of Dave Slight. That's what a name does. It tells me who I am and whose I am. And with that name, the name carries, or it suggests as well, the idea that there'll be a likeness. You know, I'm of my father. So there'll be a likeness. I remember when we all lived in the same house when I was a bit younger. And if the phone rang, and either my dad would never answer it, but I'd answer it, or my brother would answer it, or my mum. And if I answered it, I'd say hello. And someone would say, all right, Dave, it's Pete from work. And I'd be like, oh, it's not Dave, it's Steve. I'll just get him for you. or it might happen again, and my brother would answer it, and a voice would say, "Oh, it's Bob. It's Dave. It's Bob next door. Have you got a minute?" And brother would like, "I'll just get him for you." And it got to the point where people would ring up, and I'd say hello, and they'd say, "Who am I speaking to?" You've probably had that, yeah. And it's the point is, we all sound the same, apart from my mum, of course. But we all sound similar. And it's the likeness, it's the image bearing, it's the, you know, I'm of my father. And I think there's a reality in life where, if to use the telephone kind of analogy, people come to us and we almost put them through to the Father. We bear that same image, and they come to us with questions, they come to us with thoughts and hopes and fears and all that, because we represent the Father. And one of our kind of missions in life is to just hand them over. I'll just get him for you. And that was just spontaneous, that. I don't know where that came from. My brother actually looks like my dad as well, but I don't. I look more like my mum, apparently, but don't read too much into that. But the point is, there's a likeness, there's a family likeness. And the blessing of God works in the same way. There's a restoration of position and identity before God. We are adopted into his family. And we receive that blessing. It's like we go literally from being a Timex to a Rolex. You know, you get the idea. You're still a watch. You know, you're still the essence of who you are is who you are. But at the same time, everything is made new. And all of heaven is behind you and your life. You are fearfully and wonderfully remade in the image of God. That's what the blessing does. You literally become a chip off the old block. I personally think God doesn't mind if we get mistaken for him sometimes. I think all that does is demonstrate the power of the blessing. That was the plan in the first place. Let's make them like us. So if you ever get mistaken for God, just give him glory. Stay away from people who claim to be God. That's something else. That's fruitcake territory. Don't go there. But the real hope, the real experience in this life that we can know, and I, you know, you're probably tired of hearing me talk about this, but it's transformation. That the belief, the certainty that the blessing of God transforms. It transforms in a moment, and it transforms in a lifetime as well. But it's real. That transformation is real. I know I'm not the person I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I know I'm not. And we're called to a life of transformation. And it's really easy to lose sight of that. And it comes across sometimes in the things we say and the way we think. We might not say it, but we live as though we kind of don't believe things are going to change, or I'm not going to change. And we often project ourselves into the future based on who we are now. Well, in 5 years' time, this is going to be, I'm going to be there, I'm not going to be doing this, I'm not going to be doing that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, actually, in 5 years' time, you won't be the person you are now. In 2 weeks' time, you won't be the person you are now. And this is, it sounds offensive, but it's true. We're called to a life where we change. And that change is primarily internal, but it outworks itself into our lives and into the lives of those around us. There's nothing worse than being stuck in a place where you just think it's not going to change, or you're not going to change. But the glory of the new covenant, of the power of the blessing, all that Jesus went through, to remind ourselves of the cost, It was so that you could be different, I could be different, life could be very different. But somehow we lose sight of that. But it's true, it's really true. It's called the priestly blessing in the Old Testament. And the ministry, I said this before, the ministry of the priest was to represent the people on behalf of God. But in the New Testament, we're called a priesthood of all believers. So we all have that aspect to our lives where we minister. And it's twofold for us, because we represent God before the people in our daily lives. And we also represent the people before God in our secret lives, in prayer. We lift people to God. So our ministry is twofold. Try doing that without the blessing of God. It just doesn't happen. But this is the amazing, impossible ministry he's called us all to be ministers of God, to be priests of God. That inspires me. I mean, most of you know me well enough to when I say this, but probably the greatest compliment I ever had was from a friend's mother, I think. And she said, whenever I think of Jesus, I always imagine him to be like you. I was like, but actually that's how it's supposed to be. And we'll all represent him in different ways. So people will see the likeness of Christ in you. They will see it. Maybe you've had the occasions where you've sat down with someone, you've talked to someone, you've prayed for them, you've had a word for them, or you've just helped them in some way. And it's about who you are, not just what you say. So the way that you help someone, the way that you speak to someone, the way that you ring them up on a night, and the way that you show compassion, that is speaking far more than you probably think it is. And it is you being God to those people. It's you connecting them to the Father through your own life. And that was always the plan. That was always God's plan, and that's what was redeemed at the cross. Okay, last point. This is probably the most important thing I'm going to say, actually. God wants to bless us. He went through all that he went through in order for that to become a reality. But how do we enter into it? How do we know it individually? The blessing always comes after the offering. It always comes after the offering. It was true for Moses, for Abraham, for Noah, for Jesus, and it's true for us. It always comes. The burnt offering represented that wholehearted devotion to God. And the New Testament, it puts it differently. Can you put that scripture up, Jez? Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You can condense that, and I'll say it like this. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Offer yourselves, and then you'll enter into the blessing. And that's probably the most significant thing I'll say this morning. Because it's true. I don't know where you're at right now. But the question I want to ask is, what is God asking you to offer? Maybe you haven't even begun the journey with God, and that offering is simply, God, here I am. I want to be a Christian. I want to be born again. I want your spirit in me. I want to live that way. I can't do it on my own. That's the starting point. But the Christian life continues, and it is a constant life of offering. What is God wanting you to offer? The assurance is on the other side of the offering. The blessing is on the other side of the offering. And that's where trust and faith come in. For the last 2 years, God's been, 2 or 3 years, God's been challenging me through through people like Liz. Basically, about, I think it's 2 or 3 years ago, Liz gave me a word about stepping into the uncomfortable with God. And I was like, yes, I know that's God. That's definitely God. And it's been a journey of, I've been on mission, and he's calling me to more of that. He's calling me into, you know, to step out. What was that picture? There's a picture of the ocean with a horizon. And if I want to see what's beyond the horizon, I have to take the steps towards it. I have to offer myself. And it's like that through life. I've found personally that you can press into God, you have a hunger for him and you want more of him, and then there's a difficult season, and then you press in and there's like a promotion almost in the spirit. I can distinctly remember seasons in my life where that's happened. But the point is that the blessing is beyond the horizon for each of us, and it just means start walking. And the curvature of the earth. Oh, there's a picture. We all want to know what's beyond there. The greatest explorers set out, and that's all they saw. But they did arrive at the land of promise, whatever it was. What is your land of promise? What's God put on your heart? What keeps you awake at night? What makes you tick? What makes you come alive? Because God has put that there. I've wrestled with some of my desires because I'm like, it's too good, it can't be God. It's too big, it's too wow. And God's like, well, who can it be then? It is. But there's an offering, and that's the difficult part. But what is God asking you this morning? What's he wanting you to offer? Because he wants you to discover his goodness. That's what that verse talks about. You'll be able to test and approve his good, pleasing and perfect will. Some people say, oh yeah, good for God, but not for me. But it doesn't say that. It says you'll approve. It will resonate. It will resonate with what's in your heart. So I want to just give you 2 minutes just to be quiet and think about that word, that offering, and then I'm going to bless you all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If any of you feel like you want to take a step with God, or a step further with God, but you need to talk or you need to pray with someone, there'll be people here at the front, or pray with the people you've come with, pray with your friends. But I just encourage you to be hopeful that what's beyond the horizon is good, pleasing and perfect. Amen.